From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL.com, this is The Wrap at NC Capital.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Thursday edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie, WRAL Capital Bureau Chief. Travis Payne is out of town today. And boy, did he pick a good couple of days to not be here, because yesterday was absolutely crazy. I'll tell you about that in a minute, but we'll start with today. The Senate today sent Governor Cooper a bill that would basically ban a doctor from performing an abortion if he has any reason to believe that that abortion is due to a Down syndrome test, a fetal test, screening test. That bill, you may remember, we talked about when it went through the House. It made it through the Senate with no changes, so the passage today means it goes directly to the governor. It passed the Senate today after an interesting debate in which only women spoke. It's the first time I've ever heard an abortion measure debated in the legislature where men weren't the ones who were doing a lot of the talking. This time it was several Democratic women and a couple of Republican women, and it was a good debate. There's a story about that online if you want to read any more about it, but suffice it to say that the bill passed along strict party lines, which surprised no one. 27 to 20, I guess it was this time, simply because a couple of people were absent today. The Senate also gave its final blessing to that big package of tax cuts, and that one is going to the House. Remember, they put that in a House bill. That one, Senator Newton today said he's hoping is going to show up in the budget. We don't know at this point. Like, we know that the House leadership has said that they agree with most of what's in that package. We don't know that they agree with every single thing in it, so I don't know that that's going to be written in stone. But that was the legislation that would lower the personal income tax rate from 5.25 to 4.99, and then it also would boost the standard deduction. That's the amount of money you can make before you have to pay taxes on it. For an individual filer, it boosts it a couple thousand. For a married filing jointly, it's a couple thousand more. So we did a little bit of a I should also mention that it increases the child tax credit. So we did a little bit of math. For an individual filer who, say, doesn't have any children, makes about $60,000 a year, we figured that between the change in the rate and the change in the deductible, or standard deduction, rather, you'd be looking at a savings of a couple of $100 at least. So this would be a substantial tax cut in people's pockets. Of course, Democrats were very concerned that the state can't afford this, but Republicans say they feel like it can, and they say that, you know, the state has been taking in more revenue than it actually needs to spend every year for the last few years. That's part of the reason we're sitting on a large deficit, surplus, the opposite, large surplus right now. And so they say that they think this is sustainable. That's also the package that would eliminate the corporate tax rate between starting in 2024 over the course of 4 or 5 years. And also it would cut a bunch of the business franchise taxes. And that's something that Governor Roy Cooper has spoken about. He says he's a little concerned about that. And we heard some of that also from the Democrats in the Senate yesterday as well. So, but that bill did pick up, I think it was 8 Democratic votes, that tax cut bill, in the Senate yesterday. So it does have some strong bipartisan support as it goes into the House and most likely into the budget. Looking at a couple of the things that were part of the avalanche that was yesterday, House leadership unveiled a gut and amend version of a Senate bill that was sort of a big omnibus on education policy and funding. It made changes to everything from school calendar to remote policies on remote learning, attendance policies. Changed, for example, there's a pilot program in there that would give parents $1,000 if they're under a certain income level to help with educational expenses. They would have to go through the North Carolina Educational Authority to do that. That's the folks who already handle things like opportunity scholarship grants and state scholarships. That was a real surprise coming out yesterday morning in House Appropriations Committee. Representative Jeffrey Elmore, I think, spent a good 25 minutes just walking through the 20 or so provisions. It really is quite a Christmas tree of changes. That bill moved quickly yesterday. Another one that moved so quickly you could have missed it if you blinked was a bill that would allow municipalities to delay their elections until next spring if they need to redistrict. Remember, this has to do with that census data that got delayed. So the census data is not going to be showing up until September, probably at this point, maybe late August. And that's not going to give cities enough time to redraw districts if they're going to be electing people from districts in this upcoming municipal election. And a lot of cities are going to need to, because North Carolina has been growing pretty quickly. So about 35 cities and towns would have the ability to change their municipal elections until next spring's primaries. And that should give them, they say, enough time to redraw the maps. But Raleigh wants to go further. Raleigh, we just learned earlier this week, actually, that the Raleigh City Council was in favor of actually pushing the elections until next fall and making them permanently now in even years instead of odd years, because they say that it'll increase turnout. Well, that has gotten a little bit of pushback from some of the folks on the small growth side of the ledger, who feel like this is the pro-development council trying to basically push for more time in office, an extra year on their terms. But here in the legislature, you didn't hear any of that. That was actually added as an amendment to a bill yesterday that hustled through a couple of rules and got passed through the House last night, and is now on its way back over to the Senate. So that was one of those things that, you know, didn't exist at 2 o'clock and was halfway to being law at 7. And then one other bill that really caught my attention this week was esports. This is a bill that was Representative Jason Sain's bill that would basically offer a refundable tax credit of about 25% to those big video gaming events that any production in the state for live or broadcast, you know, tape for broadcast, that would spend at least $250,000 in qualifying expenses. He was talking about having gone with his son to a Fortnite World Cup, because apparently his son's an avid gamer, really wanted to go, and they went up to Queens, New York a couple of years ago, and Saint said, yeah, there must have been 25,000 people in that arena over the course of four different days. He said, moms and dads spending money, heads in beds. He said, you know, that sounds like a winner. He said, this really is maybe a sport of the future, and North Carolina should get in on the ground floor. Now, North Carolina is already in on the ground floor. We actually have a pretty robust and growing esports community here. We've got Epic Games, of course, the maker of Fortnite, located in Cary. We've got various and sundry sort of gaming centers around the state. There are pretty much on any given weekend some kind of smaller esports going on in different cities, but not these big contests that Representative Sain is talking about. That bill would also include $5 million for NC State to build a esports, basically education and training center, and another couple of million dollars to create a mobile one, like basically like a big trailer that could go around the state to different schools and different events and provide maybe a platform for some demonstration esports. Or, you know, to help students learn about this stuff. So that bill did pass the House Appropriations Committee. What happens to it next? It's got a ways to go. But, you know, and it did have some skepticism and a little bit of pushback from some of the more conservative members saying, this seems like a lot of money, and aren't these games supposed to be addictive, and why are we giving away tax credits? So we'll see what happens to that one. Today, speaking to reporters, Senator Phil Berger, after session, said that he gets the sense that the House could be completed, could be done with the budget, their budget, by, say, mid to late July. I mean, it is, you know, the timing's moving along. It says then they got to do a, you know, of course, probably conference report. That's going to take a couple of weeks. And then we got to see what the governor's going to do with it. So it sounds like the folks are going to be here through the middle of August, at least, probably. They are planning to take a week off on the 4th of July week. So that is a week that both the House and Senate say they're not planning to hold sessions. So that gives everybody a little bit of a break. But I think we were all anticipating they might be getting out of here a little earlier than August, but I guess we'll have to see about that. Anyway, we'll be back next week along with Travis Fain to catch you up on what's happening down here at the legislature. Thank you for joining us here on The Wrap.
This podcast is a production of WRAL.com, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like the show, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and sharing it with your friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app.